We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Welcome back to 755 Forever. I'm David O'Brien, Braves writer at The Athletic. And I'm with my co-host, as usual, former Braves reliever Eric O'Flaherty. What's happening?
What's up, Dave?
So, Braves wrap up a 7-2 homestand, hell of a homestand, with the Cleveland Guardians, who came in with the best record in the American League, still have the best record in the American League, and the Braves took 2 out of 3 from them. 2 extra inning games. Braves win today in a walk-off on Austin Riley, a much needed. He and Olson really have been scuffling, and both of them hit a couple of scorchers. Well, more than that, Austin had 3 balls hit at over 100 miles an hour that went for outs in Saturday night's game. Today, he hit another one for long out to left field warning track. Olson did the same thing to center field. Olson's got like the top 6 or 8 in the majors in hard hit rate and exit velo. He just have not done much to show for it. Not much to show for it. But when, as you know, when that happens, those are the guys you can look to turn it around because they're just getting bad luck. All you can do is hit the ball hard.
Yeah. And as a player, you have to, you know, analyze your, how you play outside of the results. It's one of the hardest things to do in baseball. And it's, you know, guys that have been in the league a long time are good at that. It'll still kind of eat at you if you take like a 1-for-12 skid, but if you know you're hitting the ball hard,
yeah,
you're going to start hitting balls, you know, off the end of the bat and they fall in, and then the hard hit balls find a gap and all of a sudden, you know, your numbers even out. But it's a really tough thing to do when, like, Austin hit some balls hard today. It's tough when you're in that slump and not catching those breaks, but that's the game and that's how the game tests you.
And then Olson hit some balls hard and has nothing to show for it. Then gets a big hit with RBI, I think game time RBI on a broken bat single, which that can be one of those things. It's like, okay, here we go now. So, but to me, it looks like Austin Riley, after really scuffling for a few weeks, looks like he's about ready to kind of go on one of those Austin Riley tears. And we know what happens when he gets on a tear. It's kind of like Acuna when he gets on one. And Olson the same way. Those are all three guys that can put a team on their back and kind of do what Ozuna's been doing. Meanwhile, Ozuna shows no sign of cooling off. So I wrote today, and something that's going to run tomorrow, that they really have to get at least one, preferably two, of those three superstars going. Acuna, Olson, Austin Riley. Because those are three guys that were probably the biggest for the team last year. Along with Ozuna, obviously, went 40 and 100. But those three guys were, from day one, in their own ways, they all do something huge. I mean, Olson led the majors in homers and RBIs. Acuna was everything in the leadoff spot. Austin had some incredible runs. So they need to get those guys going. And I say that because, I mean, they have the best record in the major leagues. But that's a testament to their depth, because we've talked about they can have those guys slumping and still have 2 or 3 other guys hot. And Ozuna's been unbelievable. But on this homestand, they won a bunch of some close games because they're starting pitching. Really flipped a switch and pitched great. And as a net result, the bullpen was able to flourish and show how good it is when they don't have to pitch 4 and 5 innings every night.
Yeah, they were great. And Austin hitting that ball off of Class A, that dude has the best pitch in baseball. His cutter, I mean, he lost the game on a slider. I don't know what the thought process is, but I don't think he should ever throw that slider in the zone one, but I don't know if he should even throw it. Like,
yeah.
What was Mariano's off-speed pitch?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That yeah. pitch, 99 and cutting like that with depth too. It's not just going side to side. It's got some depth, and the swings you see guys take off him, I'd have a hard time calling anything else, but Austin put a good swing. I think it was the slider that he hit up the middle, but when you're taking a guy like that up the middle, you're about to be hot.
Class A might be, he's definitely one of the five best relievers in baseball. He might be the most underrated. That guy's nasty, man. They got a hell of a team. They're one of those teams that they don't have a bunch of superstars in the lineup, but they do all the little things. Guy like Stephen Kwan in the leadoff spot. They're aggressive. They manufacture runs. They get the runner over. They steal. They ran themselves out of that inning, the extra innings where they got thrown out twice.
But when that happened, I was like, you're losing no matter what now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, two caught stealings in an extra inning. That doesn't happen. But they got a lot of guys that really do, that just play the game the right way, all those cliches. And then they got one superstar pretty much in a Ramirez. He's a pretty big dude, pretty big stud. But they got a lot of guys that just play really well, and they got a hell of a pitching staff. All the starters that pitch great. Ben Lively today came in with a 2.38 ERA, goes 4 1/3, gives up one run, 5 strikeouts, 4 hits. But the bullpen, the Hunter Gaddis, Scott Barrow, that guy was nasty with all the hair. And then Class A, the game last night, the Braves lost. Jimenez gives up 3 hits, 3 consecutive singles that were between 26 and 31 miles an hour off the bat. They went like 7 to 9 feet. I mean, officially, that's hard to do. One was a bunt, and the other two were miss hits. 3 singles. And gives up 2 runs. But nobody in that game did not pitch well. Everybody in that game pitched well.
Oh, he threw great. That's another example of me saying the game will just test you sometimes. You give up 3 balls, hit that soft, you're throwing well. And I mean, what a shitty deal to wind up giving up runs on that. And almost had the double play ball.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like that inning was so close to being all right with all that. But I mean, everybody in that pen's throwing well.
It's funny. He gave up 3 hits that were at 31 miles an hour or less. Austin Riley had 3 balls that were out the night before that were hit at over 100 miles an hour.
Yeah, that's baseball.
That double play. I don't want to say I told you so, and I don't want to jump on the guy. But if Guillorme or especially Fletcher is in there, they turn that double play. I mean, Ozzie, that's just not Ozzie's strength, man. I don't know why he's not a little quicker at that. As small as he is, I'm kind of surprised he's not quicker there, but the arm is really the difference. That little split second difference between a guy with a great arm and a guy with an okay arm or below average arm, that bang bang play that's where it makes that difference on that double play, that play at first.
I got a theory that jack dudes don't have good arms. You know, if you see a guy that's got like traps on top of traps, those type of guys like Michael Bourne, guys that are just so shredded, for whatever reason, their bodies just can't relax into that position. You know, they got too much muscle mass almost. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. He doesn't turn that, but you get his bat in the lineup. It's something that the team's willing to live with.
Oh, on balance, there's no question. I mean, he's the guy you want in there over, a Guillorme or Fletcher that doesn't give you anything offensively. He gives you so much offensively, and we've already seen it. I mean, you know, he comes back today he had a single. This is Ozzy. He had a single, hit by pitch, an RBI double. You know, I mean, he makes it up for it just in his first series back. He had a double yesterday. His first game back Friday, he had 2 hits, including a double. But I thought that the starting rotation had a run going that was 5 consecutive starts of 6 1/3 or more innings with 1 or no runs allowed. That's doing some pitching right there before today.
I think Lopez is probably the only surprise for me, and more than anything, just expecting a different pitcher out of him. You know, I could have seen the results, but not the way he's doing it, the way he's pitching. But you know what Charlie can do? Sale has been Sale. He looks like his old self.
Yeah, he does.
Max was not going to keep sucking.
Yeah.
I mean, this is – I don't think – obviously, you can't book that they're going to pitch like this all year, but I almost think their rotation is starting to get a little underrated. You know, like people aren't giving it enough credit for how deep and strong it is. I was watching the Mariners game yesterday, and they were saying stuff-wise, the Mariners rotation has, you know, the best stuff in the league. And I look at the Braves rotation.
Well, especially with Strider.
Yeah. Yeah, but even without it, it's who doesn't have great stuff, you know, minus that five spot.
Right. And Charlie last night, man. 7 innings, 4 hits, 1 walk, 6 strikeouts through 91 pitches. I mean, he looked like he could have gone another inning or two, just like Sale. But since they said, we're not going to push him, and that's smart. Yeah, I think there's no reason why they can't pitch well all year unless, you know, injury, obviously. You got a 40-year-old and a 35-year-old who's barely, you know, who's been off and on hurt for 4 or 5 years.
And a guy starting for the first time.
Yeah, and a guy, Max Fried, who's also had some nagging stuff in recent years, including the two things last year. So we'll see. Like Charlie's so down to earth and reasonable and rational about this stuff. Cause Charlie said, we just got to stay healthy, you know, but he knows it's not given. Like he gets the finger injury last year. I mean, from nothing, from spinning the ball too hard, you know, Sales had so many things, including Freak stuff. We've seen Max get hamstrings and groins in the past. So, you know, for their sake, if they can hold this together, even Elder today, we saw what happens when Elder can occasionally get erratic. I asked him about that. And that was a problem last year. He just loses his command for a minute, but he's able to harness it today. And I thought it was pretty great to against a good lineup like that to limit it to 2 runs. He gave up 4 walks, including three walks after giving up none the last game. He gave up 3 walks in the third inning, and they only got 1 run out of it. They left the bases loaded because he got a ground ball. So he goes 5 1/3, gives up 4 hits, 4 walks, 2 wild pitches, a hit batter, and only 2 runs. So that's good damage control.
It's not a fun way to pitch. No. You know, it's a lot more fun to have a 99-mile-an-hour fastball, but you got to respect it because it takes balls to trust your stuff in the zone when you're throwing 90, 92-mile-an-hour sinkers. You know, you have to trust it and make a good pitch and trust that you'll get that ground ball and that it'll be to somebody, but you get a couple double play balls today, and it turns into an all right start.
I guess it earns him another. I don't know why you would option him and call up somebody else. I mean, that's the best you can hope for from anybody else you call up, what he did today, not to mention how well he pitched in the first game up. So I think you at least take him on his trip and have him make one more start on this trip and see what it does out on the road. It'll be a tough contest at Dodger Stadium, obviously. But he's a guy I like out of the candidates you've got. He's the one I think I'd trust the most to go in there of the fifth starter candidates, you know.
He had a great year last year.
Yeah. Yeah. Great first half, you know.
He's shown he can have outings like today and minimize the damage and give his team a chance to win. And he's got the track record from last year. I know he had a rough second half, but
yeah.
Is he going to be a Cy Young candidate? I don't know. Maybe not. Probably not. But he can be a legit major league starter, and he's already shown us. And he comes up and has a decent start. I've given him another one.
Certainly a solid fifth starter.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Many people want to get into therapy but are afraid to jump off the proverbial diving board. I know, I've been there. But BetterHelp is a great option. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule in the modern day environment. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge if the first one you match with isn't for you. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/755 today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/755 today to get 10% off your first month. One more time. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/755.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
The plan is, as a starting pitcher, is the post, first and foremost. Being healthy is, you know, it's huge for every team. And I think, you know, being healthy and staying healthy throughout the season is key. You can't help the team, you know, if you're not there. And I've unfortunately been there a lot. So, yeah, it's nice to get off to a good start. You know, and when you got an offense like this and a defense that, you know, making plays, it allows you to go out there and just kind of throw strikes.
So right now the Braves are on the plane to Seattle. What goes on in a plane like that? How did they divide the team, the plane up when you were with the Braves? Was it the same with every team you were with? How'd they divide the team, the plane?
So Seattle had, we had Paul Allen's plane and it was sick. Nice. It was like all the seats. It was, every seat was first class.
Wow.
You had a giant seat that reclined. You had your own TV. You had all this stuff. Jesus. And then one of the Trailblazers, so us and the Trailblazers were using it. One of the Trailblazers left a gun on it and they said no more athletes after that. So, I mean, funny, kind of a funny story. I remember, so we got just like a normal private jet and everybody just thought it was a piece of shit compared to what we had. And we're on this is my first full season in the big leagues. I'm like 22 and everything to me is still insane.
Yeah.
And I remember, we're sitting on the runway for a while and somebody yells up, let's get this shit box rolling. Like this plane was just garbage. And I remember sitting around like, this is still the best I could ever imagine have getting to travel in my life. You know, so you get kind of spoiled in the big leagues, but
yeah, in a hurry.
We had that. Oakland had a really nice plane. Actually, the Mets chartered a Delta and then Atlanta just chartered Deltas. So on Atlanta flights, you get, you know, those big full-size Deltas and everybody gets their own row. Some of the rookies and young guys have to double up if there's not enough space or there's some family on the flight. But usually the veterans get the back and, you know, there's not really rules. There's no seat belt on, you know, tray tables up, any of that. It's pretty fun. I mean, you do whatever you want and flight attendants know you, so they're real friendly. They'll bring you drinks. But a long flight like that, yeah, it can get out of hand.
Were they still playing a lot of card games when you were on? They were, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I jumped in one time with, remember Gerald Laird?
Oh, yeah.
G Money.
Five tools, one man.
G Money was making, I don't know, like whatever the veteran minimum was, like $1 million or something. He was gambling with the Upton brothers. He had the biggest balls I've ever seen. I played with them one time and I was up however many thousand, down however many thousand. And I just said, get me out of here. I don't want to play. I'll give my money back. I'll give my winnings back. Just let me out of this because it was too stressful for me. But
yeah,
there's some cards going on. There's the best thing about the flights is you're locked into that plane together. So there's nowhere to go. So you have nothing to do but to really get to know your teammates and hang out and spend some time, whether you're talking about the games or talking about life. But that's kind of when teams are built.
Yeah. Gerald Laird, man, he was a funny guy. And people forget because Braves had him at the end of his career, and he wasn't that. He was a usual backup by the end of his career, you know, limited. But people forget he was a top prospect at one time, like really high draft pick, really high. And we asked him. I think his name was number was 1-5, right?
I would have to look it up, but
I think it was.
I'm sure he said it every day.
I think we asked him about his number one time or whatever. He goes, one man, five tools. Because at one time he was a multi-tool player. I don't know if he was five, but he was. I asked Boris about that. He laughed because he was one of his favorite guys early. He was a Boris guy early.
He made every day fun. You know, you got to have guys like that.
So I wrote something today about for tomorrow about those three guys that said that need to come around. And and Olson and Riley both show some encouraging signs today, this weekend, obviously. Cunha, not so much. We obviously know he's the guy you need to least worry about because he's just so talented. It's only a matter of time. But You pointed out something the other day, and you didn't even know the stats, but you were right. You were talking about all the strikes, all the swings and misses he's got this year. And that, to me, is the big difference. So I looked it up today, and sure enough, last year you could point a lot of his improvement. People realized about midway through the season or earlier that he was striking out at a dramatically reduced weight. The swings and misses reduced rate, the swings and miss, the whiffs were way down. And I mean, the kind of improvement you rarely see in a 1 year from a really good player, but he had like cut his strikeout rate in half last year. So I looked at it today and I was amazed at what I found. Now, we got to always preface this with the caveat that he missed much of spring training with the knee thing. So I think that really set him back because last year he played a lot, had a great spring, came out and took it forward into the season. But he's hitting .255 with one homer, .715 OPS right now. Struck out three times today, struck out with a runner on first at the end of the ninth inning. And the strikeouts, like I said, are the big thing. And he's not hitting, but his hard hit rate and exit velos are way down, like it would be at career low levels right now, like 90 miles an hour, down like 4 miles an hour from last year's average. So, but the thing that really jumped out is Savant has that year over year change, which is really valuable. And then you look at an individual player, and then you can look at the league who had the highest and lowest year, the best and worst year over year changes. So he had .337 last year, 41 homers, 73 stolen base, 1,012 OPS. Okay. It was unbelievable. But the thing that was so dramatic analytically was the strikeout rate. Career low by a mile, 11.4% last year. Okay. Yeah. This year, 22.9% before he struck out three times today. He's inching towards his 2022 rate of 23.6. Meanwhile, his hard hit rate and his barrel percentages and all the other measures of the exit velo, sweet spot, all those are like career lows right now if they continue. They won't continue, but they are right now. His whiff rate is up 10.8% this season to 29.5. That's the highest increase among MLB qualifiers. Now, last year, his rate declined from 24.9% in 2022 to 18.7% last year. So it was the largest decrease, which means he's gone from the largest decrease in the majors among all qualifiers from 2022 to last year to right now, at least, the highest increase of all qualifiers. So that's the ends of the extreme for him. Then his expected slugging percentage, which is a really good stat. I like it. Ozuna right now is up 169 before today, at least. That's the third highest increase in expected slugging percentage, which takes into account all the factors and what your slugging percentage should be. Not necessarily what it is, but what it should be if your no luck was involved. So his is up 169, third highest rate among qualifiers increase over year. Acuna was down 272 points in expected slugging percentage before today. That's the biggest decline in the majors. Now, a year ago, he went from in 2022 to 2023, a 176 increase was the largest 1 year over. So in those two categories, he went from the best, the highest increase in the majors to the highest decrease right now in both of those stats of all the players in the majors, which is kind of wild. That's some extremes there.
Yeah. I mean, he had an extreme season. And I mean,
yeah.
Maybe he's not a 40-70 guy every year, but he's still really damn good and you know what he can do. And I think you have a year like last year and it's kind of like, how do I top that?
Right.
And then you get maybe 2 weeks into the season, 3 weeks into the season, and you were expecting to do it again or to top it or beat it. And you look up on that scoreboard and see one home run.
You start pressing.
You know, I think so. Yeah. I think more than anything, it looks to me like he's swinging a little hard, you know, and he always swings hard, but it just looks like, I've seen him get some hanging sliders in the middle of the plate.
Yeah.
And I'm just, when the pitchers throw those, I'm like, you're so lucky he's cold right now.
Yeah.
Because that would be a 500 foot shot when he's right. But it doesn't seem like he's just trusting that he is that guy, you know, that he's got that power. And He would take those sliders on the outer half and drive them out to right center. It looks like he's trying to pull them. You know, that's what I text you about. I'm like, man, I cannot believe these pitchers are getting away with these pitches to him right now. It's part of the game. I mean, you go through it and then you start pressing, he'll find his way out of it. But it's definitely been a drastic change.
Yeah, and it's so dramatic because he had the season for the ages last year. I mean, he might never repeat that season. And if he does,
nobody's going to ever repeat that.
Yet nobody ever did it before or even came close. So, but to your point on what those pitches that he's missing that he hit last year, his chase rate is not up. It's not like he's swinging at pitches out of the strike zone. He's just missing.
Yeah.
So his whiff rate is way up and his strikeout rate's way up, but his chase rate's not, like pitches outside the zone, it's not up. So he's just missing those pitches.
Yeah.
And he's fouling some back that he crushed last year.
That's when I text you. I was like, he does not miss those. You know, I mean, I've seen him have some games, but sitting there and watching it and seeing those pitches, I'm talking cement mixers, middle away at the belt, and he fouls them off or swings through them. It's just not him.
I talked to Seitz a few days ago about it, and he said he's not right yet. He's not locked in. He goes, I have total confidence it's going to come.
Yeah. The hardest thing in baseball to do is just trust it. Trust your power, or trust that you're good enough, trust your fastball, but just to trust it. And for power hitters, when they hit a couple balls, they think they hit good. He hit one the other night, and somebody put the exit velocity and the launch angle, all the shit up, and said this ball was a home run for him every time he hit it like this last year, and it got caught at the track. I think it was one to center field.
Yeah, ball's not carrying great yet at all.
Crushed a ball, but just the type of, like, what that does to you. If you look at a guy like Adrian Beltre, had a 40 or 50 homer season with the Dodgers before he signed with Seattle, went and played in Seattle, and the ball doesn't carry. You start changing stuff. You start trying a little harder. So if he just stays the course, I mean, he may not go 40-70 again, but I bet we look up in September and he's got 33 and, you know, 40, 50 bags.
Yeah. Riley and Olson each had two hits on the homestand before today in the first eight games, and each of them had a hit today. Riley had two hits today. So Riley is up 4 for 33 with two RBIs on the homestand, including a game winner today. Olson 3 for 30 with three RBIs on the homestand. So neither one of those guys for the year. Olson's hitting 212, 723 OPS. Riley 224, 693. But like I said, they showed encouraging signs this weekend. Olson ranks among league leaders in hard hit rate, exit velocity for today. He had a line drive to deep center today, 106.6, that was caught at the track or deep.
So. And he hit a ball last night, I think, off of Classe that got caught at the track. And he went the way he was jogging, he thought he got it. That's two hard hit balls off that dude that I don't see anybody nastier.
Remember when the Braves could not, the first years of the Ghost Runner, the Braves sucked at it. It was like they couldn't figure out how they wanted to go about it. Defensively, do they intentionally walk to set up a double play? Offensively, they just couldn't do anything. They were terrible in those games. Mm-hmm. They are like the masters of it now because their lineup is so deep.
Yeah.
I figured this out. And their bullpen is so deep. So the thing is, now they get to the 10th, 11th inning, and they're not running a guy out there that they don't want pitching. They run Minter out in the 10th inning today. And their lineup, it doesn't matter, like most teams, if it's just a kind of, okay, where are they going to be in their lineup when the 10th inning starts? Are they going to be in the 7th spot with that ghost runner at 2nd? Well, the Braves, it doesn't really matter.
It doesn't matter.
As a result, they're getting that ghost runner in. They're winning in the 10th or 11th inning. They lost 2 days ago to the Guardians. But the Braves have gone 4-1 in extra inning games this year, 3 walk-offs at home, and they are a majors best 12-4 in those games since the beginning of the last season. That's after sucking at it for three years.
And we've talked about their bullpen depth quite a bit, but that's almost another – it's like a bonus save situation, right?
Yeah.
And so when you have 4 or 5 guys down there that I think could be 40 save guys – You're bringing in the guy you were kind of trying to stay away from that day.
Yeah.
You know, it's like you go with the guys that you know you're going to use and you know they're available. Then you have another guy that's pitched 2 out of 4 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You're like, he could use a day off, but all right, we can win this one. It's right here. And that's a guaranteed situation where you got a runner on 2nd to start the next inning. So if we can get out of this jam, when Minter picked off, was it Kwan today? Who'd he pick off? He picked off Kwan today. I was like, that's ball game. There's no way, like, that is the end of the game because the momentum of that, right? That's the momentum of it. But then also, you got this great lineup and you get to start an inning with a runner on 2nd. I mean, it's not even fair.
Yeah.
So you can bring in a closer type reliever that you were trying to stay away from. And they always got one on tap for the 10th.
And it's not like in the old days where you didn't use your closer, you know, unless it was a safe situation, sometimes at home with the tie, whatever, you know.
Home tie is closer.
Right.
Home and tied. Yeah.
Right. But the Braves are using theirs more now, even like down a run sometimes. And because, you know, Iglesias is going to pitch that, it's going to pitch because you don't have to save him thinking we got to have him ready in case we could take the lead or whatever. And because Minter can close, Pierce Johnson can close, Joe Jimenez can obviously close. They got a lot of guys. And Snit is also able to really stick with his guns on not overusing guys. Like you saw Dylan Lee last year, as deep as their lineup it is, Snit is not going to go use these guys when they're down. He's not going to use them.
Yep.
So obviously he had a couple of guys down last night because Dylan Lee would not have come out for a second inning, and he did.
Right.
And he didn't pitch bad. He just gave up a little bit, but you know, a couple things fell in. But that's
they had bases loaded, one out. I mean, he almost did what needed to be done and get the win.
Big picture though is what Snit is keeping in mind at all times, because even as deep as that bullpen is, they are going to make damn sure that they get to the second half or to the end of the season and still have a loaded bullpen. And none of those
they
guys
can. There's not a lot of questions you can ask when it's, you know, Minter or Pierce Johnson. Yeah. Why'd you go with this guy? Somebody down. I mean, he has 5-6 legitimate choices to use late in the game that you really can't question because they're all, like we said, you know, closer material.
Yeah. And I got guys down in the minors that if midseason somebody were to get hurt, a couple of guys were to get hurt, you got guys down there you could go with, like Smith-Shaw or, you know, you got guys down there that you could use in a pen roll if you needed to. So they're going to have a good pen all year, and we've already seen how important it is, and especially with these starters, if they're going like 6, 7, 8 innings like they have been, or 9 in the case of Freed, that pen is going to be well rested. So they've only got, I think Minter was the only guy that was in like the top 35 in appearances in the majors, you know, and then innings, they only had like 2 in the top 50 or 60. So
that's also a credit to the offense.
Oh yeah.
One, you're deep. So it's not like you got these 3 guys that we always have to rely on. And then the 4 or 5 after them, or you got a 50% chance of giving up a run. You're really deep, so you can rest them. But also you get to have these big wins where you can throw, there's a couple of times where they had 5-6 run leads and somebody came in and gave it up. You got to get your closer hot, but you can stay away from guys so much easier and push those buttons when you're up by 6 or 7 runs. Like if you can just pad in a few blowouts, it's such a rest for your bullpen.
Yeah.
And they do more than that. I mean, they beat teams a lot by, you know, 5, 6, 7 runs.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this episode of 755 Forever. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/forever to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/forever. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Steven Vogt impressed me, man. He's got that team. Yeah. They got a good vibe to them. They're really together. They're cohesive. They're aggressive. Really aggressive. Pitching and
hitting.
Did you see
he's younger than Charlie?
Yeah, he's 39. Charlie's 40.
Yep.
And he said before game one, how are they going to attack Braves lineup? Or how they're going to face the Braves lineup? He said, attack. We're going to be aggressive. They got a bunch of good hitters. We're going to attack. And they did. And they're really aggressive offensively. And for the most part, it really worked. I mean, they ran themselves out a couple of innings today, but they take the extra base. They got good base runners. They steal. Braves catching, man, has improved so much. I tell you what, really stood out, and Snit pointed to it a couple of times, is Walt Weiss worked with those guys because he took over as the co-infield coach and worked with those guys at spring training a lot of hours for the first time on tags. They usually don't spend a lot of time on it. They spend as much time as any team. They really worked like hours and hours on tags because the Braves missed some tags last year, they felt, on some plays
at home.
Were good enough throws, right? Yeah, that were good enough throws. So they worked on the tags, and you have seen it. You saw it in this series on those two most caught stealings, like three or four of them, where the Braves made great tags. Arcy has made a couple. Really,
okay, you're
good
talking at second base.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arcy's made a great tag. Riley made a good tag. I think it was Riley. And then at home, they made a couple of great tags. But yeah, you see, Arcia made a great tag the other day. Or who was it the other day made one where he reached back and got him? Was that Arcia or was that Guillorme? Anyway, they've made where the throw was good, but if the tag wasn't good, they probably wouldn't have got the guy. So they're really, really, that's really showing up right now. And Darno and Chadwick Trump can both throw the ball down there pretty quick, pop time, accurate throws. So they that really got them out of some innings in this series, and it has in this homestand. Those tags, man.
There's so many things like that that, you know, day 46 of spring training, we're still working on tags you don't think are going to come up during the year, but they win you two games during the season, and then you pile up, you do five different things that seem like, you know, maybe not that important, and they're only going to come up once or twice, like an inside move. Minter's inside move was money. I mean, he paused, he checked, he stayed there. He kept the same pace as when he goes to home. He lifted his leg the same as when he goes to home. And you know, I would get that. I was so bad at picking off, but I would get that sign from the catcher and I just wanted to get it over with. I'd look at the runner, look back to home plate, lift my leg and turn around like, we're not going to get him. But that won him the game, you know? And so it's cool to me that they have a team that's this talented and they're still doing all the little stuff right.
Yeah, the one today was Trump to Arcia for the third out in the fourth inning. They got Tyler Freeman, and the naked eye initially, I didn't think he had gotten him because it looked like Freeman was past him when he got it, but the throw was right to his knee. He caught the ball and all he had to do was keep the glove moving and went right into his knee. So it was a nice play. And I think
I'm trying to see if I can find it.
Yeah. It was the fourth inning to end the fourth inning.
Oh yeah.
That was a great tag right there.
Little stuff like that, it all adds up. You check the standings at the end of the year and you did, you know, seven little things like that.
They had three caught stealings today, man.
Yeah. Well, two
innings. I mean, that was huge.
Two shouldn't have been. Well, one, I mean the pick, but
yeah.
That last one where Ramirez didn't slide. I love too when you're watching a game and somebody does something like that, the camera always just zooms in on their manager's face. The camera just goes straight to Vogt, looking.
They had a stolen base against Sale. I think Sale, he looked at him once and then he looked home. And I think he just kind of forgot or didn't. He's like, okay, that's stuff. I'm not going to look at it. Because he's looking at it, he's facing him, and the guy just took off. And Sale was so focused on the mitt that he went and had delivered the pitch.
Well, that's kind of how I was. I wasn't going to worry about the runners. I was going to mix up my timing. If they went, they went. But the last thing you want to do as a pitcher, and we've talked about this with kind of what Acuna can do, where you saw a guy throw over three times and give him a bag. Right. He's so distracted by him.
Distracted.
But the biggest part of that speed on the bases is it'll distract you. It'll mess up your timing.
Yeah.
You're so worried about being quick to the plate or if he's going or not. You got two pick signs from the manager. All of a sudden, you forget to make a good pitch. I was always like, you know what? I can't. This is too much for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to mix up my looks. If they go, they go. But I'm focusing solely on making a good pitch. But we'll see what happens with the runner. But some guys are able to kind of play that game. I wasn't. You know, Max can do it.
A lot of relievers are like that.
Yeah.
Not going to. Kimbrel, it's like he doesn't give a shit what the runner's doing. You know?
Box on purpose to send him to third.
Yeah. He's like,
I don't want to deal with you.
But I think I think Sale knows what he's doing. I mean, that might have looked bad, but he'd rather be focused on the catcher and the signal because, you know, he doesn't shake off. That's his thing. He does not shake off. And, okay, that's the pitch. I'm throwing it. So he obviously knows what the hell he's doing. So what a breath of fresh air he's been. Oh, my God. I talked about it. I can't tell you enough how his post-game interviews, it was another one last night, was just – or two nights ago. It's just tremendous. I mean, he's just so candid, so thoughtful, so smart. Loves the team so much. I mean, he really appreciates being on a good team because it's been a while for him. He's been on some, they won a World Series in Boston, but he's been on some bad teams.
Yeah, White and he Sox started and with Boston Chicago.
Yeah, and then Boston at the end and, you know, disappointing team. So he's really enjoying this great vibe that this team has and, you know, and having a guy like Charlie who's older than him and having these veteran catchers. It's just all suits him really well because he's so intense and he's so. I mean, he expects accountability and all that. So I don't think he wants to be around a team that's got a couple of shitheads that aren't accountable, you know, that don't take it seriously or whatever. So I really think he likes the vibe here and it's bringing out the best in him.
He had me when he cut those jerseys up because, you know, the whole team, there's nothing worse than being uncomfortable when you're playing. And some of these throwback uniforms, it's fine if they're ugly, but when the fit feels wrong. Yeah.
Like long sleeves that hang down past the elbows or something.
Yep, like that, or tight sleeves. Like a lot of those retro jerseys have the rings, the thick rings around your bicep that get stuck. For whatever reason, that stuff just pisses you off and bothers you. You know, you don't feel right. You don't feel loose. You know, the whole team was bitching about it.
Exactly.
The whole team was like, what are we wearing? And he's just, he told him he didn't want to wear them when he pitched. They put him out there. He said, we're not wearing them today and just cut them up.
And he's the only one with the balls to act on it. I talked to Tyler Flowers after they traded for him because Tyler was his teammate, catcher in White Sox. And Pierzynski said the same thing, is that he's a guy who speaks up for players that aren't comfortable yet being able to speak up or might not ever be comfortable to speak up. He speaks for everybody when there's something that needs to be said, but nobody wants to be the guy to say it for fear or whatever. Tyler said he's the guy that would say it. And that's why every team he's played for, the players respect him because that's the way he is. So it's a different, totally different view than what the view was of him from the outside. Oh, that guy's an asshole. Then inside, it's like, no.
We love him.
He's doing this for us.
I mean, some guys are just born leaders like that, you know. But there's other guys that are born leaders, but they're not very good. Right. So you can't go cutting up the jerseys if you're batting 185, right? So it has to be – you have to get lucky enough to have the combination of a guy with a 97-mile-an-hour fastball and a ridiculous breaking ball that will speak up for the team. And he's that perfect combination where he was, and especially when he was doing it in Chicago. I mean, you can't have, he's young, but he's figured out I am the guy here and embrace that role. And so you get that combination. It's great to have on your side.
Yeah. And you can't back down once you do something like that too. And they come to you and you can't,
he'll pay for him.
I'm sorry.
He'd pay for him for the whole team too.
Yeah.
But we're not wearing them. That's pretty, I love that move.
Yeah, it's a great move. Right now, it's looking like, to me, maybe the most important trade of the offseason, because especially with Schrader down, of maybe of any team. I thought the Braves with Murphy trade last year might have been the most important trade, even though Contreras has turned out to be pretty damn good with Milwaukee.
Yeah.
The fit of Murphy here is great in that catcher room. So I really think that the Sale trade has the potential to be, if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
Especially the fact that they re-upped with him. With Freed, you don't know what's going to happen next year, if he's going to be back. But you know you got Sale coming back next year. You know you got Ronaldo Lopez now under contract for 3 years. Huge signing. I mean, about $10 million a year for him as a starter, that's a bargain.
They pick their spots to take, you know, the right risks. It seems like they all pay off.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's a pretty good place to start with those two. You know, and then you got the same guys we've been talking about are going to have another year under their belts by next year. So if they need to go out and get one starter, they can do that to a one-year contract. A guy like Charlie Morton, if Charlie doesn't keep pitching, go get a veteran guy like that if they need to. They can do that for sure. But
it'd be somebody like that or a trade. It probably won't be a big, you know.
If you don't re-sign Freed, which, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you got to think Sale in his second year here. If he stays healthy all year, I mean, he's going to be the total bell cow on that rotation, the leader from day one. Him and Strider's going to be back.
What a guy to follow.
Strider will be back in April. He could be back by the start of the season. So Sale, Strider, and Lopez, that ain't bad.
Good start.
Yeah. Depending on what happens to Freed, who knows? All right. Big trip. This is going to be a good one, man. I'm looking forward to both of these. I'm going to L.A. I'm looking forward to all these games. These are going to be some good series, good matchups. And last time the Braves played the Dodgers out there, it was in the end of August, early September, and it was a phenomenal series. And that was where Acuna kind of turned the MVP race around. So we'll see if he can get going on this trip. It's going to be facing Julio Rodriguez, the two phenoms from a couple of years ago on the same field. Kelnick going back home. I know he's going to be jacked up. Hopefully he doesn't come out of his shoes.
I'm going to have to find a way to watch it because I'm blacked out.
Oh, God. You guys got all that shitty regional sports network out there, huh?
Yeah. I tried to sign up for Fubo a few times. And they wouldn't take my credit card. So I don't know what's going on with that. I tried three different cards. So I don't know how I'm going to watch. I'm going to have to get that VPN or whatever it is.
You can't watch it on your MLB network because it's blacked out?
Yeah, MLB.com. So I watch all the games through the MLB app.
Yeah.
Like on the Apple TV.
Right.
And I can watch everybody but the Mariners. If I want the Mariners, I got to sign up for it. It's just a pain in the ass.
So baseball TV around the country is so screwed up, man. I mean, It is so – they make it so hard to watch the games. It's just terrible. To get it to shit together, man, it's just awful.
It's just a pain in the ass.
I mean,
I'm going to use a VPN, I think.
It's not like you can just drive them
4 hours
the
away. Yeah. Well, people are blacked out in Montana. It's a 12-hour drive.
Braves have the same thing. People bitch about here getting blacked out. I was at my
Wish
my
they
parents.
Just do an add-on charge, you know, like an extra $5 a month and give it to the cable company or whatever it is. But that's, I think, why those cable deals were so big.
Yeah.
Because they were thinking it was – and I don't think it's working out because I've seen the Diamondbacks have like a $99 for the whole year.
They T-Mobile. Got dropped by Bally.
Yeah, yeah.
They got picked up by like MLB's doing it with – I don't know. It's all screwed up. I can't even explain it. But the Braves hasn't affected them because they were one of their marquee teams, Bally. They didn't drop them and a couple of others. So hasn't affected them at all. But I was at my parents in North Carolina a couple of years ago, and I couldn't watch the Braves game when I was up there. It was like I could watch the Nationals and I couldn't watch the Braves.
You do all this stuff to try to grow the game. It's like, how about not make it such a pain in the ass? I haven't watched the Mariners. I barely watch any Mariners games. I'd watch every night if I could just do it easily. I'd pay. I'll gladly pay. But don't make me sign up for a specific service. Let me pay. I don't get why it's got to be so complicated. I'd buy each game, you know, the nights I was going to watch for $20 if I had to. But they won't let me do that. I got to have... I think it's Root Sports or something like that.
Yeah.
Fubo won't take my credit card.
All right. We'll do one after the Seattle series and after the Dodgers series. And thanks, everybody, for signing up on YouTube and giving us good ratings and all that. We really appreciate it. We went over 1,000, which was important for some reason. I'm not sure why, but it was. So we're over that. So keep signing up. We appreciate it. And keep listening to us if you're not watching on YouTube or do both. It's worth doing both. Buy the merch, buy the coffee from Mr. Van Gogh, end up in North Carolina, or order it online and all that. All right, we appreciate it. 7:55 forever. We're out.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems. But getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.